This is Marky Mark Markellis from Soul Wizard Podcast, and you are listening to the Geek World All-Stars Podcast Network.
Zombie Batman.
Oh, okay.
Had to go with the classic.
Do you think that's a Zombie Rudolph?
Zombie Rudolph?
Yeah, you think that's the thing?
Isn't that redundant?
Rudolph's a zombie?
I thought so.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Zombie. Ate a lot of freaking deer.
Oh, there you go. Dude, nice.
I've listened to that song no less than 800 times in the past week.
Are we ready?
No.
Okay, good.
Isn't this the show? Don't we usually go with this stuff anyway?
Yeah, this is true.
Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of Superhero Speak.
But I think many of the people that love this character and that love superheroes in general have used these stories as inspiration to say, you know what? I'm going to do something good in the world. I'm going to make a difference like my hero when I was a kid.
That is my fondest memory of it, because when you're doing comic books, you want them to affect people,
right?
You want people to care. You want to strike emotions. And I knew that Clone Saga was striking a lot of emotions.
Can you imagine Pulp Fiction starring Goofy and Mickey Mouse?
I can totally imagine that.
I'm sure somebody's written that one.
Quarter pounder with cheese and France, Mickey? What? Boy, ale with cheese. Yeah. I can totally.
See?
I would watch the hell out of that movie.
Yes, I gladly saw sacrifice at my progeny to view a mighty Marvel beast.
But Neil Adams is somewhere going, it's my time.
How do you measure success?
Hey, everyone. You're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm yours, Dave.
It's over. We made it to the end. Oh, hi, John. John's here. Barely. Kind of. Getting ready to drink a lot.
I have a cold, and I took DayQuil at 7:30 at night, so I am rip-roaring and ready to go.
Yeah.
I don't have a drug stop. You're going to hear me sniffing quite a bit on this podcast, but I swear I'm clean.
Dude, all I have is the 90-proof stuff with me. You took NyQuil? You're way ahead of me already.
No. DayQuil. I couldn't.
DayQuil. Okay, so just only a little behind.
The first time anyone's told me I've had a little behind, ever.
Oh, jeez. I can see it's already taken effect.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
For shizzle.
Oh my goodness. So since you're finding a cold, do you have anything else interesting to talk about since we last saw you? Anything fun happened to you this week?
No.
No?
I had to think about that for a second.
I was trying to figure out when the last time I talked to you guys. I'm like, I don't have a book coming out this week. I don't have...
Oh, dear.
Anything interesting going on? No, this week's kind of, I have a cold. It's wrestling season. That's about it.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'm a fascinating person.
How about you, John?
Well, I'm struggling with my book. I'm not going to finish it this year, but I will finish it early January, which is good because I am making progress, which I feel good about. I have to send what I've got now to my editor, but I don't have enough to send her yet. I'm figuring I'm going to try to work some of it while I'm at my sister's for Christmas with three nephews hanging off of me. Otherwise, this isn't our day job, our real day jobs. I actually have like paid vacation. So I start my vacation technically tomorrow whenever I can sneak out of work and then off for the rest of the year.
My boss never gives me vacation. I'm self-employed.
Yeah, well,
that guy is a dick.
Well, yeah. Hey, I agree. Once you're writing a book, I mean, holy crap, you do become your own boss, and then you're absolutely correct. You never get a day off. You're always like, I need to relax. Oh, you could be writing another page. I need sleep. You know, you could be writing another page.
I've been kind of taking a little bit of time off while I got a proofreader reading this last one, so it's been nice actually to mellow a little bit, but I got to get back on the grind.
Yeah. Well, you know, so otherwise, yeah, just that's it for me. Not much going on. Yeah. Can't wait for the end. How about you, Dave? Let's go with you.
Let's go full awkward. Obviously listeners will notice that this episode is quite a few days late. So we normally record on Monday nights. And I had a dinner disaster, as it were.
Oh, lay it on. What was your disaster?
He tried to boil water again.
No, it wasn't a disaster so much like we... So, you know, every major store does the thing where that you get a free turkey during the holidays, right?
Okay.
Before Thanksgiving, right? Like, Acme in our area, I don't know if Acme is in Chicago.
That's a real company?
Yes.
No.
Acme Supermarket.
Nope, not a thing here.
So their deal was... For you could get a free turkey if you spend $100, right? And they do it basically for the whole month of November. And we ended up with like 3 turkeys and a turkey breast. So we gave one turkey to someone, and then we had, you know, a turkey for Thanksgiving. I had the turkey breast left. So I'm like, I'm going to make it. And I decided I was going to try to make my mother-in-law's stuffing. And
just tell us how long it took the fire company to get there.
No, it came out. The problem was I got stuck in a meeting. I was planning to start it early, mm-hmm. and I got stuck in a long meeting at the end of the day at work. So I got started late. So I didn't end up eating until 9 o'clock. So yeah,
you know,
bless you.
I came through. Sorry.
We have a lot of ambiance tonight. You could have eaten during the podcast.
I've done it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. But I was nervous about it too because it was the first time I ate it. My son ended up finishing all the stuffing, so it came out good. That's all I can say. And then last night we decided, like I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, my wife and my oldest brother and I went to a Quizzo thing. And this week it was supposed to be an all Star Wars night. So we planned on going, and we get there and find out they canceled the Star Wars, but they were still doing Quizzo, just a general trivia night. And
that's cheap.
Exactly. And it was so weird too, because it was like they kind of seemed to decide to not do it because it didn't seem to be popular enough. And I guess they were afraid people weren't going to come, but people come to the thing just to do the trivia. I don't think they care if it's a theme night or not. But we'll get more into the Star Wars stuff later on. However, we decided to have dinner and stick around and do it anyway, and we won again. In fact, we played a perfect game. We did not miss a single question out of 4 rounds, 10 questions each. So,
Mazel tov.
Yeah. And the last round was really interesting, and I got every single one, and my brother and wife were both like, "How did you do that?" It was bad movie descriptions, so they would describe a movie poorly and you'd have to figure out what it was based on what they said. So an example is, this wasn't one of the actual ones, but an example was, a guy with no nose hunts down a child. So what movie would that be? It's a movie. This was a movie series.
Oh, Harry Potter.
There you go. Thank you. So the last one that we got, and a lot of people missed this, and I had, this is the only one I had to think about. Teenage girl is tied to a bed by 2 virgins.
You really shouldn't be watching those channels, Dave.
Come on.
I think the FBI has a watch list for you.
JD might get this. It's a very popular movie.
Teenage girl tied to bed by 2 virgins.
I'm kind of glad I don't know this.
Might be one of JD's favorite movies.
There's something here and I'm just not seeing it. I don't know.
It's a horror movie.
It's a horror movie.
Split?
Oh, very, very. There you go.
What was it?
The Exorcist.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, the rest of them were like, you know, I think he said Disfigured Man, Lives in Boiler, and fulfills kids' dreams.
That's easy.
Yeah, as soon as you say Boiler Room, I mean, like, it invented that genre.
There was a called Boiler Room with Vin Diesel.
Well, okay. I didn't know Freddy, but...
How about woman kidnapped by man talks to furniture?
Oh, Beauty and Beast.
There you go.
Man, I was going to say Pee-wee's Playhouse, but...
Where is there a woman?
Well, he talks to the furniture. Sure he kidnapped somebody.
I am so glad that I did not take John to the bar with me to play this game.
Terrible.
So, yeah, so that was my week. And also today, they put out a bonus. Well, not bonus. I guess they did it early. The Mandalorian was out today instead of Friday.
Sorry, gotta go. Bye. Baby Yoda calls.
Oh, you didn't watch the episode yet.
Oh, crap. Thanks. All right.
Stop.
In the name of... Oh, okay.
If anything happens to that creature, there will be hell to pay on that app.
Oh, my God.
Yes, there will be. I'll...
You know, I got an Amazon Fire Stick just so I could watch that on my TV.
Yeah, that's why I got a Roku, so...
There you go.
Well, I got a password.
Oh, we got the password, too, which is... I just kidding.
Wait.
Oh.
Right. All right. No, that's enough about us. How about we look at some craziness in this world of social media?
How about we don't?
Do we have to?
Oh, come on. Come on. You guys are no fun.
I mean, it's the end of the year. We could take some time off from that, right? That's what I want for Christmas.
All right. So hold on. We talked about Black Widow last week, right?
Did.
It's happening. Yes, we did talk about Black Widow.
And one of the things that JD had said in the episode was he felt like maybe the movie might be 5 years too late.
I say a lot of things.
You were hoping it wasn't 5 years too late.
Well, he was, yeah, unless it's strategic, JD was absolutely right about that, but go ahead.
Strategery.
Yes.
So Tan Wop said, profit-wise, it's too late. I'm still curious, but with the pre-Infinity War excitement atmosphere gone, it feels like a closing off chapters on the Avengers origin stories kind of movie. Also, she's dead.
I don't...
So, we replied, interesting, you think it's too late for it to be profitable. And he said, it's more like not as profitable as it could be if it was released during the hype season when everyone else was coming out, or during the time Wonder Woman got released. In the post-Cap Marvel weird girl power atmosphere, it's going to be less.
I wonder if he had a stretch for that many leaps of logic. Could have pulled a hammy.
That's why I brought it up. Like, I don't know if I totally agree with it, but then again, does he have a point? Like, would it have been a bigger movie if it was released around the time of Wonder Woman?
So, I don't know. If these movies exist on their own, like, I don't know if the Wonder Woman has anything to do with this, to be honest with you. And I don't know if Marvel movies make money. She is dead. Like, everything else he brings up, is the atmosphere going to be a little less? Yeah, I do think so. But, I mean, it's going to make a lot of money. His second tweet is largely erratic.
A little bit. Let's see. John, are you still there?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, okay.
Come poop on this tweet with me.
Okay, now, what can you say? It's just like, I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. I mean, serious. People are going to see it because they're curious, right? And because it's Scarlett Johansson.
Is she a draw?
What?
I think that's more of a myth.
She is a draw. And she's done some really good work, too. I mean, there's a movie that's just coming out called The Breakup, I think.
Marriage Story.
What's that?
Marriage Story.
Marriage Story, that's it. Marriage Story. And it's I mean, by all accounts, she did some real high level, you know, work there on that. So, you know, she's got acting chops
yes.
But she wants to play a tree. Oh, sorry.
She does want to play a tree. But I mean, like, does she draw anything like on her own? Like, how many of her movies have really like made money? Like her Ghost in the Shell debacle didn't make
money. Well, that was, you know? Yeah, there were other issues about that.
Issues that were her.
I think her was profitable, wasn't it? But I mean, she wasn't physically in the movie. She was the voice of the phone.
Right. That's a Joaquin movie, you know, more than a.
True. But that's a good question. She's a star, but is she like a Tom Cruise? I don't know.
No, I don't. Well, she actually might have some things in common with Tom Cruise as far as like, you know, saying the wrong thing and hurting her drawing ability. But I don't know if she can carry a movie on her own. This Black Widow movie is really going to be the test of that. She does great in ensemble pieces, but I don't know like, the jury's still out on her carrying the load.
Well, moo bitch, get out of my hay, said that it's too late, dead on arrival.
That's my punk band.
Too late, dead on arrival, or moo bitch, get out of my hay?
That's my rap band.
I say just give it a chance. Let's see what happens. They might have a trick up their sleeve. They're being very cagey. I mean, I, the more I think about it, that first trailer is way, way over the top, just really just basic trailer trash. You know? I mean, every line in there is a recycled action movie line. So it's maybe they might be purposefully doing that to make, you know, to lull us into a false sense of, like, you know, this is just going to be a, you know, your standard action movie. And I think maybe they might have a, I want to wait and see. And I think they'll, if they have a trick up their sleeve and just, like, brings her back into the universe because she didn't really die or something, that would be kind of awesome. And, you know, it would be something that I'd expect from them.
So I didn't, okay, one last thing on Black Widow. I didn't bring this up, in the news, but I did see an article that kind of, I thought, eh, but since we're talking about it, I want to mention real quick. So in a post, they changed the way Sonic looked because the fans weren't happy world. Apparently there are people grumbling online about the way Taskmaster looks in the movie, and they want Marvel to change it before they release it.
Man, we're a bunch of little bitches.
I highly doubt they're going to, but yeah, like was it wrong for Sony to change Sonic so now everyone is going to get that pressure moving forward?
What, are they going to CGI his new suit on? Or are we going to they're going to give him a Green Lantern suit?
Well, a lot of the suits are CGI in the movies, so
his isn't though.
No.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Again. We'll see. Moving on.
We're all little bitches. I think we keep that. Okay, so we also talked about the Wonder Woman trailer, and the only tweet I have on that was the Watchers podcast said, the trailer looks amazing. So, and I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, that was an easy one, guys.
That was easy. Too easy.
All right, Ghostbusters.
I like this more and more. The more I think about it, the more I like it.
Random Randy Savage from the Cult 45 podcast. Trailers do their job, and that's to hype. It's unfortunate how the female Ghostbusters are not part of this universe. Maybe the next trailer will show more. To which I responded, considering that the female Ghostbusters was a terrible movie, I would hope not. Also, they made it clear that that movie wasn't part of the same universe in that movie.
Yeah, and the female Ghostbusters were on Earth 99, and that just got wiped out. Okay.
Earth 99 Luftballons.
Yeah.
To which Randy replied, "Fair," and I said, and I stand by this. I've said this over and over again. It's a shame because they had four of the funniest women in comedy in that movie, and Chris Hemsworth stole the show. Like. You couldn't make the comedians funnier than the actor. It's like, that's a bad script, in my opinion.
Well, the script was there. I don't know. The female Ghostbuster thing, the script was bad. The directing was bad. The whole thing was, I mean, how you could put four really talented comedians together, well, three and a half, and get what they got is just, you know, they had to work to be that bad. So this one looks more. It's got more whimsy in it, you know? It's got more of the feeling from the original movie, you know, the wonder in it. So, right. You know, I can't wait to see what they do with it.
And then Marky Mark from the So Wizard podcast said, I'm super excited for Ghostbusters Afterlife, partly because it looks awesome, partly because Jason Reitman directed one of my two favorite movies of 2018, Tully. He's a good filmmaker getting to play in an awesome sandbox.
Yep. And he's the son of the original director, right?
Yes.
He like the first movie he remembers is being on set of the original Ghostbusters. Like you can't get much better than that as far as a director's concerned, and he seems to have the talents of his father too. So, you know, I mean, if that's covered, if the script is good, it's going to be really hard to mess this up.
Agreed.
Famous last words.
I know, right? Like, you know, that just sent out this pulse in the universe. Now, like, a comet's going to hit or something.
Right on the movie theater as it's premiering.
Yeah.
Could be.
It just means that an exec's ears perked up and now they want to add some spice to it.
All right. So that's it for this week's social media madness. I thought you guys would be happier.
We ate Sir Robin's minstrels. It's very tasty.
So if you guys listening would like to be part of social media madness, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Superhero Speak or follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/SuperheroSpeak or on Instagram at Superhero Speak. And we thank all of our listeners this year who have participated and joined the conversation on Twitter. And it was a lot of fun, even though some people don't think it was. And if you're looking for some other fun things to follow on Twitter, check out the Geek World All-Stars Podcast Network. There are the podcasts of So Wizards, Cult 45, the Pop Prison Power Podcast, Fans on Patrol, the Gorilla Brain Podcast, and yours truly, Superhero Speak. And of course, you can follow all of us on Twitter and check out the hashtag GW All Stars. And you'll have a lot of fun with us and listening to us. So on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. After these messages, we'll be right back. And we're back.
We are just so hyped that, like, we're all just ready for the end of the year to just for vacation to start, you know,
the end of time.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah.
Well, the end of the year, not the end of time. I'm not ready for that yet. So let's talk about some news. And we don't really have a lot of news this week.
Well, the year's winding down. What do you guys
exactly? Think? But did you guys see Kamal? How do you say his last name? Nanjiani? How do you say? I don't know.
Nanjiani.
Obviously, he is going to be in Marvel's Eternals. He recently posted a picture on Instagram showing that he is now ripped like every other person that every other male that's been in a Marvel movie. And my New Year's resolution is to hire the same trainers that trained all the Marvel actors.
Steroids help.
But yeah,
having 10 different personal trainers working on the same guy helps too.
Like it was kind of shocking. I wasn't expecting him to transform like that. You know, of course he says he had a year to do it. So
anybody who has a year to do it and has like, you know, 8 people watching him make, you know, counting every calorie he's putting in his mouth and, you know, forcing him to do exercises every day. I mean, and you watch the Philip DeFranco show too, right? I mean, he mentioned it, that it's a good thing that, you know, he's going on social media saying, hey, you know, look what I did with 1 year and all these people to help, you know, not going on there like some celebrities and some personalities and influencers would, and saying, hey, you know, look at this, 2 shakes a day and you know, and an apple and I got this body and you can too.
No, that doesn't work. And that's very true. And so I forgot to include the link for this. It's also kind of led to a little bit of controversy online. I don't know if you've guys seen this.
What's controversy?
Saying how come all of the actors that are in Marvel movies have to look like this?
Because they're superheroes.
Yes. Otherwise, you get a whole bunch of people coming out saying, why is he fat? He's not fat in the comic book.
They did the fat superhero, so I don't want to hear it.
Which one was that?
Thor.
This is true.
Oh, yeah.
Thor. The conversation is over. Everyone else is stupid.
No, I mean, that fits the storyline. I don't get it.
Right.
Well, and also, I mean, let's be honest. You know, like when you think of the guy putting himself on the line to save the world, you don't really think of the guy with the dad bod, you know, let alone me.
This is the Eternals. They're gods.
Yes.
So this is dumb. Side note, is it me or does he have a really long torso?
Fairly long, yes.
Well, when you're wearing the pants with the hip all the way down to, you know.
But it looks like there's like an extra section of like abs.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's because because at our age, or like, well, you're like, what, 3/4 my age, but something, you know, like your pants, the waistband of your pants generally climbs up over time. So he's got, he's got his down about, you know, at your 20s. And that, yeah, of course, it makes it look like he's got a longer torso.
Actually, I felt the same way when I saw, I think it was Paul Rudd, the first time they showed him, you know, after he worked out to be an Ant-Man. You know, like, he's got a really long body. It's weird.
Well, he does, yeah. But that's Paul Rudd. Nobody cares because he's just, everybody loves him.
So here's my thought on this. Homeboy got in good shape. We should be praising him for that. If that bothers you, if it bothers you to see a man in good shape, put the donut down.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know who's getting angry at this.
Some nerd somewhere got angry.
Oh.
That's what Dave said.
Let's be 100% honest, too, right? Any guy, you get put in a Marvel movie and they're like, okay, there'll probably be a scene where you're going to be topless, you know? Mm-hmm. We're going to work out as hard as you can because you don't want to have the dad bod on the silver screen, you know?
Right. You
want to
look good. That's how you get work.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's how you get the babes. Oh, wait.
Well, he's married.
Yeah,
his
that's
wife,
true.
His wife expressed very happiness for her look.
That was the same thing with like Will Smith when they did The Matrix and he got in,
Wait, are we living in the Mandela effect?
I'm sorry. Will Smith. Well, it was Will Smith when he did. His wife did The Matrix too, and Will Smith was in. Was it Ali?
Yeah, he was in Ali.
Right. So it was like when they both got in shape, they were both like, you know, they'd be on the circuit, and they're both like, yeah, it was really good. Oh yeah, she was in amazing shapes.
And then we got Jaden.
That was not a good trade-off. Poor kid. Poor kid.
Yes, and then you're right. I've always been in that mentality. As a heavy person, I am of the mentality that like if you have an issue with someone else being in shape, put down the donut, pick up a dumbbell, and get into shape.
All right, Dave, come over here so I can pick you up.
Oh, jokes from the 30s.
I know. You're right. Yeah.
You just need motivation to do it, you know, and make that your motivation. Don't be jealous.
Right. I mean, physical fitness is a choice. I mean, like, I work out. I'm by no means, I don't look like that, but I work out and I put a lot of time into it. And it's a choice. Like, if you want to be in shape, you can. Nothing is stopping you. You don't have to, just being in shape doesn't mean you're necessarily ripped or, like, look like a Greek god. But I mean, you could take steps to get into shape, and it's not hard. It's just a commitment thing. Just do it.
Yeah.
So, don't be jealous. Don't drink that Haterade.
Yeah.
But Haterade is tasty.
Oh, you're the manufacturer of Haterade.
That's what I'm here for. I youthen up the show with quips from the early 2000s.
Well, you know, if I'm going for the 20s, apparently, so. 1920.
All right, so
you got some good Wilson jokes coming up.
Oh, great! Okay, awesome.
Eddie,
let me tell you about Taft.
Let's move on. So Kevin Feige, where was he?
Marvel.
During an appearance at CCXP in Brazil earlier this month, he confirmed Marvel Studios' top brass has already decided heroes will team up in an upcoming film. So. Well, He didn't say Avengers. He didn't say X-Men, but he basically did say they will team up again. There will be another big threat. Like they're going to continue having team up movies.
But what are they going to do? Like, what's the next threat? I mean, they need something that they can thread through the next 5-10 years of movies.
Galactus, the Beyonder. What else do we got? Doctor Doom. We got
Kang the Conqueror.
That'd be a good one, actually. You could also do Immortus and Ramatut. Like, it's Marvel. They don't do, like, they don't do well with the small level villains, but they can do some good, like, big time cosmic threats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wait, wasn't it? Forgive me. The end of Guardians of the Galaxy 1. Was it one or two?
Two.
The guy, what's his name? The one in the egg.
Adam Warlock?
Adam Warlock. Yeah.
That never paid off.
No, it hasn't paid. Well, it hasn't paid off yet because, you know, the stuff with the firing. But that's not a villain. Adam Warlock's a good guy. Unless they go full Magnus. Which is something you could do, too. You could do the Cancerverse. Like, there's a lot you could do. Like, they're not going to
run Zombies.
You could do... I don't recommend they do Marvel Zombies. You could do Marvel Zombies. Like, there's a lot they can do. There's, like, there's a deep bench that they can pull something from. Like,
That's how they're bringing Black Widow back. Marvel Zombie.
They could do that. I recommend they don't.
That would not be pretty in any way.
I don't know. Scarlett Johansson, I think, would still make an attractive zombie.
Well,
there's nowhere I can go with this. I got nothing.
So our next topic, necrophilia.
Cute tree.
What? I would make a cute tree? I've been called worse by better.
No, I said she would make a cute tree.
She just wants to take Groot's part. She can't have all the Marvel roles.
Can we just, like, let that tree thing alone? I mean, come on. We know she says stupid things sometimes, but, you know, she was trying to make a point that was, you know, actually stupid? Real.
No.
I don't...
It was stupid.
No. Yeah. I mean, you know, technically, you're an actress. You're an actor. You want to be able to play whatever you can, right?
John Wayne should never have played Genghis Khan. End of story.
Well, there's no defense of that at all.
That's, you know, there are certain parts that certain people shouldn't play. Like, I like Jason Momoa. He should not play Marilyn Monroe in the next biopic. I mean, like, it doesn't work. Like, come on, man.
Point made, point taken.
All right. So we don't really have a lot of news to talk about. And
clearly,
there's a movie that's coming out tomorrow, technically. That you know, everyone will be watching. So obviously we don't have a review of that movie, but we could talk a little bit about The Rise of Skywalker. I was trying to make a joke. I couldn't think of a joke title. John's better at that than me.
Is that coming out this week?
What?
I'm totally kidding. I got my ticket. I'm ready to go tomorrow.
I'm going to
say this.
Yet.
So early reviews are out. Oh, you're crazy. Early reviews are out. I haven't read any spoilers.
Me neither.
But the reviews are mixed. But here's the interesting part, and I wanted to bring this up. Most of the critics that are complaining are complaining because they felt there was too much fan service in the movie.
But the movie is fan service. I mean, like, the whole thing, right? Isn't it?
I mean, I would think you have to expect that in the movie that they're billing as the last movie in the saga.
Mm.
Right?
Oh, you know what? Cats is playing. I'll get tickets for that instead.
The reviews of that say it's too horny. I actually read that.
Wait, what?
That was the review I read of Cats. Like, the headline was too horny.
Okay, that's...
Yeah, I didn't read the article, but I just saw that. That is a hell of a clickbait headline.
Did you get that on one of the sites?
I avoid those places. I've actually got the word Star Wars muted on Twitter right now because I don't want people to... Like, I don't want to hear enough, you know? I heard my buddy freaked out on CBR because they already posted spoilers because that's a shit website. Like, I said it. Like, I don't want to know nothing. I've gone above and beyond to know absolutely nothing about this movie other than the trailers. And I want to walk in cold as possible.
See, here's the thing. I'm looking at, like, tickets for Rise of Skywalker now, and it's got to be my area, but, like, there's, like, very few seats that are actually taken, like, for tomorrow.
I got an IMAX seat for tomorrow night, and I got one of, like, three that were remaining.
Oh, God, I can't stand IMAX. It's just too loud.
Well, I will say this. A lot of the 3D showings were sold out in my area.
I'm looking at a 3D showing, and it's not sold out at all.
That's where the 2Ds weren't, and that's, you know, that's what my son and I usually go to, and we're going Saturday morning. So, so John.
Yes?
What do you hope will be in the movie, and what do you hope they will completely avoid in the movie? Since you're the I hate these movies person, I want you to speak first.
Oh.
I don't say I hate them. It's just that I'm not impressed with them. Jeez. Okay. Wow. Dude. Putting words
in your mouth. So what is one of your hopes for the movie, and what is one of your fears that, you know, something you don't want in the movie?
I hope that in the end we find out that Jar Jar Binks was the architect of it all.
You're going to be so disappointed.
Damn it. No, I mean, that's like my, you know, hate wish. But, I just hope that it has a coherent plot. I know we've talked about this before, and I know JD's, you know, got his little spiel on auto dial here, but
I'm just saying, go ahead, do your thing.
No, I know it's okay. I understand. I'm taking that into account. It's got to be something with my ADD and the way my brain works. I just like coherent plots, and the last two were, you know, not, they didn't form an overarching story, as you know, it's they didn't mesh together very well, and there were a lot of things in the story that seemed unnecessary, where they could have been, you know, focusing on characters that we wanted to know about, like Luke Skywalker, instead of taking that little jaunt to the casino planet. You know, I don't know. I'm hoping that it goes a little bit more in depth. I know that I've heard some of the rumors of what was being said about, you know, what's her name, Rey's parentage and all that, and it actually does matter or whatever. So I'm not being coherent myself right now. I just hope that it's a little bit more coherent, a little bit easier on the brain. It's going to look great no matter what. Apparently they pulled out all the stops for this. So that's my thoughts.
Okay. How about you, JD?
Everything John said is wrong.
Well, at least we're going out this year, you know, the same as always.
Same way we came into it.
We're being consistent. That's fine.
I have no, like I said, I try to go into these movies with no expectations. And I think far too often people who fashion themselves as a critic judge a movie based on what they want it to be rather than what it is. So you build, like, you have this idea. Like, I heard Mark Bernardin talking about The Mandalorian and how he was just disappointed that it wasn't the story he wanted it to be. And that's not fair. Like, at no point should you judge a story based on what you want rather than what was created. Because that's just fan fiction.
See, I wasn't saying it. I wanted to be.
I'm not talking about you. They're talking about Mark Bernard. I was literally mentioning. I literally meant him. But I know, but
when you start getting into that, I just hear me.
Okay, Mister. It's all about me. Not talking about you at the moment.
It's not all about me. Now let me tell you why.
For your role. No, I think that people like these movies hold such a special place in people's hearts that they have a hard time separating what it is from what they think it should be. And that's not fair for any film. Every movie should exist. Every story, every work of fiction should be the creation of the people working on it, not the idea of fan service. And if there is fan service moments, I think in part 9 of a series, you can do some of that. Like, you're owed, like, I think the fans are owed a little bit of fan service for sticking out 9 movies over the course of 40 years. So that doesn't bother me.
Right.
What bothers me is, like, I feel like people have already made the decision on whether or not they're going to like this movie based on what they think ahead of time. And that's unfair for any piece of art.
True.
That's kind of where I'm at. So, like, I'm trying not to be that guy. I want to go in ice cold. All I've watched is the trailer. I haven't read anything. I haven't done any extra. Like, I haven't done anything extra. I just want to be entertained. That's all I'm asking for movies nowadays. Like, I don't want anything more. Just make me feel good for, you know, 3 hours, and I'm good.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think that's completely fair. I totally agree with the Mandalorian thing, because I had no expectation going into it. So, like, I think it's really good. Like, I really am enjoying it.
Did anybody have any expectations for it? I mean, it's like, we're like, everybody thought it was going to be another, what was that prequel movie that they had?
Solo?
No, the other one, the first one.
Rogue One?
Yeah, Rogue One. Everybody thought it was going to be kind of like that. And I, like you, completely surprised by it and pleasantly at that, you know?
Right. So, I love it. It's been my, I think it's been the highlight of the year for me as far as like TV goes. Oh, you know, it's the one thing, it's the one thing I make sure I stop to make sure I have time to watch. Like when we get done with the show tonight, I'm going to watch me some AEW wrestling and then I'm going to put on The Mandalorian.
See, for me, it's Rick and Morty in this. Those are the two that it's like, you know, I'm looking at the clock waiting for the next episode to drop.
Awesome.
Yeah. But along the lines of like fan service stuff, I think of like movies like Endgame, right? Like, you know, the good guys are going to win, you know, something's going to happen. They, you know, have to create a story around that. But like, scenes where all the Avengers show up at the end, or all the Marvel characters basically show up at the end, and there's this giant battle. It's like,
yeah, but there's fan service, and then there's like that one scene that you've been waiting literally 10 years or more to get to. So
I'm saying they could have done that movie without that scene.
What, the Endgame? No, they could not.
No, I'm saying they could have. They literally could have.
They could have in reality, yes, but they couldn't have for reals.
They shouldn't have. But they should did. Have.
Yes.
Anyway, in a way, that's a payoff that is fan service. And everyone loves that scene.
I have an idea.
Uh-oh.
We're all going to see this movie this week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should record our own reactions on our phones and submit them. Like our instant reactions. And then when we actually review the show, revisit them.
Okay.
I'm going to see them Friday afternoon, so.
Well, you can. You have a recording device on your phone, don't you?
Yeah. I even have a real big recorder, but.
There you go. Well, yeah, just let's do that. Like, all right. Let's get our, like, pure raw thoughts out, like, super right. Mine's going to be late at night, like, and that's when you get me at my most real. And then, like, let's put them down and let's see what we are. Because, like, remember, you and me, Dave, we thought one thing about Last Jedi coming out, and we like had a couple days to process and kind of not change our opinions, but like the opinions shifted a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. So maybe we should do that with this one too, like, and see where we are, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Cause I, right now, I mean, and it's funny cause again, it's not trying to put pre thoughts on the movie or expectations, but I kind of hope nothing feels thrown in, like the Emperor. Like, I really hope this feels natural and doesn't feel like, oh my god, it's just a soap opera left turn.
See, but that's and that goes back to what I've been saying about the last two. It's like, okay, so if the Emperor is thrown in there, there's no way to feel but if he was thrown in, because there has been nothing in the last two to indicate anything like that. No, nothing that they could even try to attribute to, like, some shadowy figure manipulating stuff behind the scenes.
We had a shadowy figure manipulating stuff behind the scenes. Everybody bitched when he died. Well, like, yeah, what if it's him? Like, what if it's the great... What if Snoke was a puppet? Like, what if it's just, like... Like, that's, like... That's the thing. Is like, these movies are not... I don't... Like, I truly believe these three movies are not meant to be viewed as individual movies. Like, you're meant to watch them... They're meant to be chapters of the same story. So I think saying that you're not setting stuff up isn't genuine, because you don't know what they're setting up, and you're not going to see what's being set up until the resolution comes. And then if you can't look back and see the seeds that are planted, then you can sit there and say, okay, fine, that was BS. Like, that came out of left field. That was just thrown in. If there are breadcrumbs that are trailed out the entire time and we didn't see them, that's a different story. That's layered storytelling.
So
okay, hold on.
So
okay,
I saw.
Hold on. Favorite moment of 29. Every time JT talks to me about Star Wars,
you want to get people to kill list.
so real quick, someone who was recently watching the movies in order had posted this online. It was, and they made a meme out of it.
Is that the revised official Star Wars movie order, or is this like...
In Return of the Jedi, when Darth says, Obi-Wan has taught you well, it's after Luke jumps up onto the platform and quote-unquote hits the high ground.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I saw that one. That was...
So talk about reflective seed planting.
Yeah, that's done on purpose, though.
Not the plan. It is just funny as hell.
That is. Well done. So I had a friend that never watched any Star Wars movie. He messaged me on Twitter and said, how should I watch this movie? Start with number one? And I told him, no, start with number four. Right? Well, in agreement to that, but for a first-time watcher, you should go 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3.
I think so, yeah.
And then if you like them, then I think you can go back and watch 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
John, disagree?
I thought, no. Wasn't there like an official list that was like, what was it?
No, you're thinking of the Machete Order.
The Machete Order?
Yeah.
There's a order to watching the Machete, your Grindhouse movies?
You watch...
with Danny Trejo. Always with Danny Trejo.
Yes, of course.
You start with episode 4 and 5, and then you watch 2 and 3 as a flashback. You completely cut out the Phantom Menace, and then you watch Return of the Jedi.
That's actually not a bad plan. That's what they say?
Yeah, there's like this official order that's been going around for years now. I thought maybe they had finally expanded it to include the new movies.
So if you were in my spot, and someone said, hey, I've never seen these movies before, how would you tell them to watch? Because I said you do 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, Rogue One, 7, 8, and don't watch Solo.
I'll tell them to get the Snyder Cut.
No, I totally agree, because I think you have to watch where they came from to understand, you know, the whole thing and get a better feel for it. Plus, I think if you watch The Phantom Menace, you might not want to watch anything else.
Yeah.
You know, I've argued for years the only reason you watch The Phantom Menace is because you know what the payoff is. You know where it's going. But if The Phantom Menace comes out as a standalone movie, like, I don't think it works.
I agree. That's a fan service movie.
Yeah.
That entire movie is predicated on having seen the other Star Wars movies.
Yep. Yes.
Yep, pretty much.
All right. So what do you guys think? I mean, obviously by the time you listen to this, you may have seen the movie. But, you know, tell us what your thoughts were, what you thought going in, and then after we all watch it, tell us what you thought coming out.
We'll post that. We should.
Yes.
Cool.
So, guys, this is probably going to be our last episode of 2019, so I figured we could take a little time and look back on the year that was 2019.
I never look back, darling. It distracts from the now.
Oh, my God. So, how was everyone's 2019 in general? I think, JD, you had a pretty big year.
Yeah, I think I did. Like, when I came onto this show, I was still trying to get my comic career going. And then, like, it just kept getting start, stop, relying on other people. And right around the time I got hooked up with you guys, I made the decision that I was going to go all in on being a novelist. And I kind of just spent the last year and a half really kind of trying to get better and accrue a bunch of stuff. And this year I made that big leap. Like, I'm a novelist. I got 5 books out. I got 9 more ready to go in 2019, in 2020. And, you know, this was the year I finally did it. I made, like, it's not just talking about doing stuff or flirting with doing stuff or doing stuff on occasion. It's the year that I made my step. And it's a special year to me. Making money is a different story. You know, we're profitable, but, you know, I can't retire just right yet. So
right.
We're moving to that phase. I'd like, hopefully by the end of 2020, that's where we're at.
Cool. How about you, John? How was your 2019?
6 out of 10.
Yeah. Wow.
Recommend only on lazy Sundays. I don't know. I mean, I started my first book. I'm not quite finished with it yet. I'm kind of disappointed in myself for that. Boy, I'm a damn slave driver. But, my work life was good. We got some good interviews. We talked to Kevin Conroy twice this year, for crying out
loud. Right, right. Well, we're going to get to the podcast in a second. I'm talking about you personally for 2019. You know, that's – but obviously, it was 6 out of 10.
Yeah, 6 out of 10. I'll let you know next year when I've got my first book published. Then maybe things will pick up. Didn't win the lottery, you know. My Little Pony ended.
Are you a closet brony? I didn't know that.
What?
What?
You a closet brony?
Dave, could you explain it to us?
What a brony is?
How have you been on the show for this long and not known that he's a brony? Has it not come up?
Not come up.
Oh, I'm so waiting for Generation 5.
This has never, not the time that I've been on this show, my mind is blown. Blown, I tell you.
I look at his avatar on Skype, for goodness sake. It's Rainbow Dash.
So this year just went to a 7?
All I see is a little dude with a head, like me. The only avatar I see, oh yeah, what the hell? I've never noticed that before.
Oh, by the goddess.
God damn. Something new every day.
Yeah, here's the funny thing, right? Let's go back a long time ago when John and I first met. He had, I believe, a Rainbow Dash on his desk. And
I forgot about that.
And for the longest time, he tried to say, like, oh, someone just gave that to me. And like his niece or something gave it to him and it's on his desk. And he tried to deny he was a Brody. And then he finally admitted it, I think, on the show.
Before my time. That's BJD.
Yep.
BJD. So, yeah.
And this was the ninth season of the series, and it's over, and it was a landmark series because I don't know of any show that's had that much interaction with the fans, and actually did things because the fans suggested it or accepted as much of the creation that the fans came up with. So it kind of fit on itself, and you know, it was supposed to be like, you know, what was it, 2 seasons and go into syndication, and it wound up being 9 seasons because it kept getting renewed because there was just so much the viewership just wouldn't go down. So
yeah,
I'm just kind of upset with that because it harkens back to the days of like the original Bugs Bunny cartoons and stuff where, you know, you're looking at it, it's like, this is for kids. And then you listen to the dialogue, you get the jokes, and you're like, this is not for kids.
Yeah.
Cool. So anyway, yeah, that's been my year. You know, it's all good. Were you in favorite movies too?
Yeah. We can get to that. Jeez.
Okay.
I had a pretty good 2019, I think, for the most part. I
you had to deal with me.
I somehow did my part to help the environment.
You mowed the lawn finally?
No. The company I worked at blew up.
How does that help the environment?
Well, because then they stopped refining oil.
After the giant oil fire.
They stopped refining. And then, hold on.
And then
I got a job. And then I got a job working from home, so I don't commute at all either.
That's true.
So, wow.
Carbon. Nice.
This is true.
I accidentally reduced my carbon imprint. But yeah, so that was my 2019 in a nutshell. You know, can't complain. You know, still doing this show with you guys. So that's a good thing. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. All right. How about we talk about some of our favorite movies and TV shows? So, John, what was your favorite movie of 2019?
Dora the Explorer. No, wait. No, I'm sorry. Dark Phoenix. Oh, God, no. That's from the worst movies.
There was a lot of good movies this year. So,
You know, I was looking through them because I had to, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, which movies did you like this year? It's like, I can't remember which ones I actually saw this year. But I'd have to say, like, you know, like my favorite is Avengers Endgame just because of, you know, it I don't know. That's one that I looked forward to for so long and it paid off in every single way. And John Wick 3.
That's a great movie.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed by Godzilla King of the Monsters. It was good, but still bugged me in certain ways. And, How to Train Your Dragon, Hidden World. Because that's one of my favorites.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah, you should see it. You should see it. Definitely.
Okay.
So that's it for me.
Okay. How about you, JD?
As of right now, the favorite movie is probably Far From Home. Endgame is great, but it's emotionally exhausting.
It is, yeah. I'll give you that.
And it is. For a superhero movie, it makes it...
Sorry about that.
Wind chimes?
That's my front door motion detected ring doorbell thing.
I was a ghost. No, it was Far From Home. I thought was a more fun. I had more fun going to Far From Home, you know, and I enjoyed the experience more. But Endgame's a great movie. That being said, I'm fully expecting to say Star Wars.
Really?
I am. I think it's going to be the best movie of 2019. I'm the guy who said no expectations.
How about you, Dave? Oh, man. That's a good question. It's so easy to say Endgame because it was such a big movie. But again, I still have the argument that it's not a standalone movie. Bless you. Far From Home was really good. The Sneeze, that was an awesome movie. I noticed no one mentioned Captain Marvel.
It was fine, but it's not my favorite movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's on my, I'd be on my top, for 2019, I'd say it'd be in my top,
I think I'm the only one who saw Joker.
Yeah.
No, I saw Joker.
Oh, you did? You finally saw it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We did talk about it. We did.
Yeah, we did.
Yes.
It was okay. You know,
Toy Story 4, nah. John Wick 3, nah.
Really?
I love John Wick 3.
I'm really gonna say this, and I might get some flack. I'm gonna say Shazam.
Shazam was good.
It made me love superhero movies again. It renewed my love of superhero movies. It was a good superhero movie,
especially those DC movies that are oftentimes kind of kablah.
Yes. So yeah, I'm going with Shazam.
Good on you.
Okay, that works. Okay,
let's do this. What's the worst movie you saw this year, and why was it Pet Sematary?
I heard you say Dark Phoenix, but okay.
I did not see the Pet Sematary remake, so... Oh,
dog shit.
Yeah.
Yeah? Was it as bad as It Chapter 2?
Oh, It Chapter 2 was great. I loved It Chapter 2.
Oh, okay.
Anyone who criticizes It Chapter 2 is just, I don't know what they're looking for, to be honest with you. It's a weird book with a very weird ending, and that's as good as it could have been done.
So then what's your worst movie of 2019?
Oh, gods, like Dark Phoenix. I mean.
Hands down?
Yeah, for me, of the ones that I've seen, Dark Phoenix. Like, very rarely do I go into a movie, especially one about, you know, supposed superheroes, and halfway through the movie, I'm wondering, I wonder if I can look at Tinder and see if there's anybody in the place I want to date.
Like in the movie theater?
Like in the movie theater. I've got this book I want to finish. Like, I was not interested.
It's a very different movie experience what you're talking about.
What, with Dark Phoenix?
Yeah, hooked up. Hey, anybody want to hook up? Anybody? Yeah. Anybody? No? Okay.
Anybody as bored as I am? No, seriously, it's like, you know, when you're home and you've got on demand, you know, I'll be doing stuff while I play movies in the background, you know? And some movies are good for, you know, just playing in the background. You're not super interested in them, but you want to see them, and you get the general gist because they're playing in front of you, even if you're, like, folding laundry. This, I wouldn't even have it playing while I'm folding laundry. It's like, I just had no interest in it at all. It got so bad.
That's disappointing. Why is that story so hard to translate?
I don't know. I
never understand. Like, it's so simple. Like, why does it get so... Why is it such a struggle to bring that story to life? I will never get it.
It wasn't the actors either. It was just the storyline and, I guess, the direction. I don't know. Just, yeah, I get what you're saying, and you're right. You know, it should be, for a good writer... They should be able to adapt it to the screen pretty damn easily, especially with the talent that they had. But it just didn't work. They missed a lot of cues. They made a lot of stupid decisions. And at the end, you're like, well, this is pointless.
Real talk. Is this Brian Singer, right? Simon Kinberg.
Did he?
Yeah, I was going to ask if Brian Singer lost his fastball, but it wasn't him, so I can't throw him under the bus for it.
You can try. So I think the worst movie of 2019, and my wife hates me for making her sit through it too, was Glass, because it was such a disappointment in my opinion.
I haven't seen it yet, but my movie certainly went out with a whimper.
You know, oh, look, what you call it? Hidden sequel to Unbreakable was
Split.
Split. Thank you. Couldn't think of it. And now we're going to cumulate those movies together in this great final chapter now. Sorry.
I will tell you this. I've kind of lied a little bit because, like, the worst movie I've seen is Dark Phoenix, but I also saw Fateful Findings by Neil Breen.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. It's one of those movies. It's on par with Tommy Wiseau and The Room.
It's so bad
that it's actually like you're watching a train wreck and you cannot turn away. So I mean, that's technically the worst one, except that it's entertaining enough that you want to grab popcorn and you put the laundry down because you just want to like drink it in. It's so bad.
How about TV shows? Anyone have a favorite TV show of 2019? JD?
I was sneezing again.
Are there any doctor shows for you, JD?
I really like Mandalorian so far. I also like Stranger Things Season 3. It is the weakest of the three, but weak Stranger Things is still better than most things on TV. Those are my two favorite. I don't get to watch a lot of TV. This is not a good year for TV watching for me, but those are the things that I made sure I made time to watch.
Cool. How about you, Johnny Boy?
Well, I mean, I could, was it Rick and Morty? But season 4 is only half over. I'd put Mandalorian up there too. For me, me with the anime. I mean, I watch so much. I watch a lot of TV in the background while I'm doing other stuff. But I'm gonna have to go. Can I put an anime into this?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Kimetsu no Yaiba, also known as Demon Slayer.
The title. And that one that's like kooky. That is actually a really good title.
I was going to do the top 10, top 10 anime tropes that give JD Ajita. But
what does that mean?
It's just the stuff that annoys you. But it's...
I love these things.
Yeah, well, Demon Slayer was, how can I say this? Episode 19 was so good that it trended on Twitter and trended like nationally. So, it's literally one of the best animes to come out in a long, long time. It's definitely going to hands down win any of the awards that got out, especially that one episode. And, I'd suggest anybody who's even has the smallest smidgen of interest in it, I would start with this one because it is literally unbelievable how good it is. And the episode 19 will make you cry and cheer at the same time. And it was animated by, Ufotable, which is probably one of the best animation studios out there. They're, when it comes to merging, like, traditional animation with CGI, they nobody can beat them. So there you go. It's a shonen if anybody's interested. So that I'd say that, but you know, like traditional stuff, Mandalorian, Rick and Morty. I don't know that I have anything else.
No.
Yeah. I mean I could name a lot of shows that I like The Flash and all that, but you want my absolute favorites, I'm going with Rick and Morty and Mandalorian.
Okay.
How about you, Dave?
Yeah, I don't know. The Great British Baking Show, season 20. No. So See, like, I would love to say the Crisis crossover, but I don't know if they're going to stick the landing yet or not. You know, we have to wait till the new year for the last two pieces of it. And but I thought it was really well done. There's a lot of fan service in it and a lot of homages to things that have come before. And I really liked it. So I think I'll just really stick with you guys and say The Mandalorian is just amazing. And if you're not watching it, I don't know why.
That bodes well for Disney Plus.
No, I think I honestly see people who are just mad at Star Wars who aren't watching The Mandalorian.
Well, it's easier to be mad at something because, like, being mad at something online gives you a community to be a part of.
Yeah, which is why they strategically placed a Baby Yoda in the thing. You can't be mad when Baby Yoda's there.
Yeah, this is true. Very true. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to say, even though I, you know, still enjoy the humor and the concept of the show, I'm a little disappointed in Rick and Morty so far this season.
Really?
Because everything that's been set up, and they haven't paid off on any of it this season. It's really? Almost like none of the nothing with the Citadel and nothing with the government collapsing like happened. It's just like they're having adventures.
They'll get there.
Hopefully. So JD has no idea because he doesn't watch it.
No idea what you're talking about.
Rick and Morty would be one that would be worth your time.
You've said that like numerous times, and you're not the only one. Everyone has told me I really like this show, but there's only so many hours in the day, and I got this podcast, and I tacked on another one for some reason, and I do all this writing, and I coach, and I have a child who wants attention 24 hours a day.
Well, you could cut the child out of all that and watch Rick and Morty. I mean, keep the rest. But...
I like the child. He's cute.
Baby Yoda is cute.
I just put on my Facebook author page today. Someone did some drawings of Baby Yoda, Chuck Jones style, and they're adorable.
Aww.
So, you have any? You guys have any standout moments of 2019? Anything that happened that you know for you know in nerd culture and in your personal life or anything that you know?
I mean, for me, it was taking the step of hiring an editor.
Proud of you on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find my stress levels are extremely high now. Because, you know, they're waiting for stuff. And, that on top of work is, I can't believe I did that. But now I've taken that step and I have to see it through. So, as far as nerd culture is concerned, gods, I don't know. I'm sure I'm forgetting like all the stuff that happened this year, but I can't think of anything in nerd culture that is. Oh, one thing I'm really disappointed in is the cancellation of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah,
I mean, how I don't understand how Netflix can do that when you know they can just go to the damn Kickstarter and like everybody would donate enough for them to make another three seasons.
Yeah, but if it's not making, I mean, like space, there's a value to space, and if they're not getting the downloads that are necessary, at what point do you just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, if you're doing it just for Kickstarter, just do it for those people, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't need Netflix. True. Put them on YouTube if that's where.
Yeah, but I don't see how they, I mean, we're talking Netflix here, right?
Netflix cancels stuff, man. I mean, they have a threshold. We don't know anything about their business or what is their threshold, but they clearly have a threshold. They've canceled plenty of things.
Yeah, but it's still, I don't know.
They probably have a formula based on, you know, ratio of subscribers to downloads. And if it doesn't fit within a certain ratio, they know that people, you know, it's not interesting enough to keep subscribers around.
And even Netflix only has so much space.
Yeah.
You know, so it's sad. Like I said, like if the MST3K people want, they could always, like, they can let it live on Netflix. Or I'm sorry, they can let it live on Kickstarter. Do a Kickstarter for another season, put it on YouTube, you know?
Or, you know, put it on Kickstarter and sell it as a Blu-ray.
Well, they can do that too.
Or digital download.
Or digital download, yeah.
I don't know if anyone does Blu-rays anymore.
I do. I mean, unfortunately, I'm trying to transfer them all to a hard drive. But
yeah.
Dead medium, man.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is that just that is something that we're going to be dealing with. I still can't see purchasing a movie from a service that I might unsubscribe to or that may go away.
I mean, that's a legitimate concern, is that there's no tangible media anymore. Like, when you own music, you just rent you own rented space on iTunes.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, like, the idea of, like, owning movies and stuff like that is probably going to be something that my kid doesn't understand. You know? It'll be more like when our parents were growing up, we just saw movies when they were on TV. You know, the idea of actually owning your own copy of something could be passé.
That means that the movie theaters win.
How about you, JD? Any standout moments of 2019 for you?
Personally, hitting publish and actually stop talking and start doing. Like, it's weird. I've been doing this. I've officially been a writer and a novel writer for 3 months, and I've gotten way more done than I ever did in the years I farted around in comics. So I'm proud of that. As far as nerd culture goes, I think it's got to be Endgame. Right? Has there been a bigger, more unifying nerd moment since Batman 89?
No. Not when you go into the movie theater. I mean, that one movie actually is the one of the few in I don't know how long where it was actually hard to get a ticket, and when you watch the movie, like, people were excited and cheering and whatever.
Yeah.
So
I'll never forget, like, we had a little boy next to my wife the third time I saw it. I was with my wife, and there was a little boy and his mom next to us. And when Tony Stark dies, this little boy is in his mom's arms, probably about six, seven, just crying. And I just thought to myself, man, that is how much this stuff has touched our culture, you know? And for guys like us that grew up with these characters and these stories, like, I never thought that there would be a time when we'd share our culture with the rest of the world, and they get what we've gotten for so long.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Very cool. And I definitely will echo that as like a nerd culture. My favorite nerd culture moment of 2019 was that movie. Like, I don't even know if it's ever going to be recreated, you know, within this generation. I don't think so, but we'll see. But I kind of also really enjoyed something else in 2019.
Pizza?
We had this crazy idea of doing this little competition back in March to mirror March Madness that we called Nerd Madness. And it's
the greatest thing I've ever contributed to this show.
Yes. Yes, it is. And, man, we got a lot of feedback. We got a lot of people who voted on those polls, and we got a great moment out of that when the history of professional wrestling won as the top nerd thing of that year, of this year, according to our listeners, and ballot stuffing by the
ballot
winner.
Stuffing. Mostly ballot stuffing.
And I think what was really cool about it, too, is, like, it won, and, like, so I reached out to Aubrey Citizen on Twitter, just like, hey, you won. Do you want to come on the show and talk about the book? And he was like, yeah, why not? And, you know, he ended up being super cool. We had a lot of fun with him. And it was just a really great moment for this show, I think.
It was. It was one of the most fun conversations, not just because Gobby's a friend of mine, but it was just cool to talk with a guy who's in the process of reinventing himself. You know, and he's had a ton of success now with No One Left to Fight. He was part of the Toys That Made Us. Like,
yes.
Aubrey's doing good stuff right now, and to have him on our show was cool. Like, I felt the same about having my buddy Rich Dueck on, you know, and having a guy who did it, who's like, he had five good comics come out, and he's got more good stuff in the pipeline, and we get to have those people on to share their art and their creations. It's so cool.
Yeah, and again, I'd like to take a little credit for Aubrey's success. Take we kicked bath. Off his 2019 with him winning an award. And, you know,
don't break your don't hurt your elbow. Pat yourself on that back.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, we actually had it didn't really kick off the year, but we've also had a lot of great interviews this year. One of my favorite creators, Christopher Priest, we talked to him for a while. the Great Philly Comic Con this year. We had, of course, now new friend of the show, Tim Jones, creator of Sour Grapes. He now is posting his comic strip weekly on the Superhero Speak Hangout on Facebook. So if you are there, you get to see his work every week. If not, you should be joining the Superhero Speak Hangout so you can see his comic every week.
Come hang out.
You mentioned Rich Duick. He was on the show twice this year because we met up with him at New York Comic Con and sat down with him for a while. He's had a lot of success. Really, really nice guy.
Great guy.
I can't believe that you're friends with him because you're not. Because
I'm not a great guy. <Fair enough.
laughs>
I'm good at making friends.
We had the father and son team of Matt and Brent Wagner on at New York Comic Con. And we had Kevin Conroy on twice this year.
How awesome is that?
Wow. I never thought.
And then they killed him off in the crisis.
Hey.
Not bad.
He hasn't watched it yet.
Damn you. Oh, no, Greg! Sorry.
Yeah. No spoilers. Oh, wait, too late.
No, they killed everybody off in that because of the antimatter wave. I mean,
well, that's true. They killed off the entire
that's not really a spoiler. It's
bringing it back, refocusing. Is this the best, since I've been on, this is the best year, I think, for, like, interviews. Like, as far as having, like, good creators and, you know, Kevin Conroy and, like Andrew Romano, like great guests. Like, since I've been here, this is
yeah.
year. Do you think this is, where does it rank for all the years you guys have been doing?
We had Arthur Sedan on. We had Casey Pierce. No, this has been a great year. I think so. I don't know if you guys noticed. We've had a few people on full episodes this year, but John and I kind of recorded a lot of stuff at both cons.
Oh yeah,
or the three cons we went to. So we just been releasing those on the episodes and.
Not just recons, because I was at AwesomeCon myself.
Oh, that's right. You did. That's where you got Arthur. Was at AwesomeCon.
Yep.
So like, you know, I kind of like doing it that way. I kind of like doing the interviews face to face at the cons, and then just making it a part of the show. You know, because
I think we've still got some leftover New York Comic Con stuff.
Oh, we have a couple more. Yes, they will be released in January, hopefully. But yeah, like I've been enjoying that, you know, and it gets us a chance to talk every week too, you know.
And we've still got some leftover New York Comic Con stuff.
But yeah, like this year, New York Comic Con was awesome for us this year.
Yeah.
Like in the sense of not only did we get into the press rooms. We had a lot of people reaching out to us beforehand to set up interviews, you know, like, Sandy King Carpenter, reached out to us beforehand and, I can't think of their names, the team behind A Trick of Light, the Stan Lee book, you know, just getting the opportunity to sit down with these people it still amazes me that they want to talk to us. So.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then of course, I think the other great thing that came out of New York Comic Con is we met some other great podcasters face to face. I'd met Joey DiCarlo from So Wizard last year. But this year his entire crew was at New York Comic Con and we got to hang out with them for a while. The guys from Ghost of the Stratosphere, Randy from Cult 45, the Ucho Duo Parlay Hour podcast, and the guys from Planet Comics. Like we all talk on Twitter and we said, hey, we're all gonna be at New York Comic Con, let's meet up, and we did, and it was just a lot of fun meeting them and talking shop and, you know, what interviews you're trying to get, what are you looking to see? You know, you don't get to do that often, you know? What did you think, John? Did you like meeting those guys?
Yeah. I mean No, I didn't like that at all. They suck. No, it's good.
You're gonna make Randy cry.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what he is. He's crying. No, hi, Randy. How you doing? I don't know. We've been around for, what, almost 6 years now, dude?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So it always amazes me that there's so many people that we've met over the years, so many talented people, and you know, to meet other guys, other people in that do the same thing we do is, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's all good, really.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. We do this because it's fun. Yeah. It's fun to have people to talk to who share similar interests.
Have similar stories of being chased away from interviews, you know, chased by security.
So, and of course, we're not getting paid to do this. So this is just, it's a hobby and it's fun. But to say that here we are 6 years later and we've interviewed some really great, talented people, it's been a really fun ride, you know? And it's, you know, it's been great. It's been fun having JD come in and round out the table after some people left. And
I've been here for over 2 years now.
I know.
My God, has it been 2 years already?
Yeah, I came on with my first. You guys interviewed me in May of 2017, and I came on officially in my first episode was the homecoming review.
Yes.
Damn.
I mean, time flies when you're having fun.
Or making people miserable, which is what I'm really good at.
Speaking of it, let's go over the Star Wars things again. No.
Oh, we got a whole more show for that.
Yes.
It's crazy we can put that to rest because there's going to be no more Star Wars movies.
Yeah, right. Come on. Good one.
That's what they're telling us.
Yeah, right. And then the money happened. that was a good one.
I also want to give a big thank you to Donald Daniels, who has been writing the D Square, as we affectionately know him, who's been writing a lot of great reviews for the website. Like, and we've had a lot of people come in, write 3 or 4 reviews, and then it's like, I don't want to do this anymore. And keeps doing it, and he loves it. He's such a big comic book fan.
This is why you should let me make fun of everyone on social media madness.
Get interviews out of it. Uh-huh.
Get free work.
So yeah, like, Don, thank you, you know, 1,000 times over. In fact, I've got 3 reviews in the queue of his that I have to post this week.
What a machine.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. And you know, it's been great. It's been a lot of great material. You know, thanks to the guys from Ghost in the Stratosphere who had given us a lot of evergreen stuff that we were posting for a while in our rants section on the website. If you and a couple good articles about the best and worst comic book issues. I think, you guys, if you haven't seen, you should be checking those out too. But yeah, I mean, thanks to everyone who contributed to the show this year. You know, thanks to Randy from Cult 45 for, you know, all the contributions to Social Media Madness, and the same thing with Mark from So Wizard. You know, you guys are the unofficial 4th and 5th members of the podcast. So yeah. Cool. Do you guys have anything you'd like to add about 2019?
2020? No, I think 2020 is going to be better.
Yeah.
Okay.
You did have something called recommendations, Dave. I want to add one.
Well, I was going to say, yeah. I've been trying to sign off with us recommending stuff. So what's your recommendation for our listeners this week, John?
When I was at the AwesomeCon in Washington, D.C., I met a guy named David Pepos. I'm hoping I'm saying his last name right. P-E-P-O-S-E, Pepos. He writes a comic called Spencer and Locke.
Great book.
Yeah. Amazing book. It's basically what would happen if Calvin and Hobbes had to deal with some really nasty crap later in life. So I would really highly recommend his series. It's called Spencer and Locke.
Yes. Yeah, you interviewed him. Had him on the show. Yeah.
Yep. So, like, you know, do a search on our site, go listen to the interview, and then, you know, all the particulars should be there for you, point you to get his books.
Cool. Wow. An actual recommendation based on something from the show. Amazing.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I'm really bad at making recommendations, but that really impressed me.
Cool. I got one.
All right.
The Books of Jericho by J.D. Oliva. On
Amazon. Huh. I've heard something about these.
The first one is free.
I heard that Oliva guy is a giant egomaniac, though.
100% accurate. 100% accurate. Can't argue with one.
ABC.
Always
be close.
Mm-hmm. I have a very cute little boy who needs to eat.
Okay.
No, this is true.
Buy my book.
This is true.
Buy my book. I'm done. For real, though, Road of Bones was my favorite comic of the year. For my friend. It's my friend, but it really was the book I enjoy reading the most this year. Road of Bones by Rich Duick. Great little historical horror piece, which is a genre that doesn't get a lot of love, historical horror. And Rich just did a great job nailing this story. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Okay. I might actually second that. That was a good book.
It was really good. Rich is a good writer.
I don't know. I've read a couple good books this year. Huh. Yeah. Yeah, nothing good from Marvel or DC this year.
Deceased wasn't that bad.
Man, I'm so sad. I haven't read anything.
Yeah.
Bad fan.
Yeah. Deceased wasn't that bad. I mean, it was kind of depressing at the end, but it was pretty well done. I would recommend that one too.
I don't know.
It's not Marvel Zombies, trust me.
Should we talk about more comics? The show is called Superhero Speak. Like, should we be reading more comics in 2020?
That's a good question. And I'm actually going to ask the audience that. Should we Should we at least monthly pick a book that we discuss? You know, have a comic book corner or something.
I feel like I'm not reading enough comics. Like, if my friends are doing something, I'm gonna just take the time to check it out. But like, my days of going to the shops is pretty much more financially than anything. But they've disappeared, and I kind of miss the hobby.
Yeah, I think so. I think going forward, and we're not going to, unless it's like a really big event that everyone's talking about, we'll avoid the big two, and we'll try to concentrate on indie stuff.
I like that.
And, you know, smaller press stuff. The people that we like to have on the show and promote, let's talk about their books, you know.
Vampires of New Jersey it is.
All right. So there you go. I think a new idea, again, was born out of JD for 2020.
All right. Pulling my weight. Just barely.
Cool. So I will recommend, if you haven't done so, make sure you like us on Twitter and Facebook. That's at Superhero Speak, and on Instagram. And, you know, make sure you're checking out our website every week. You know, we're posting news and reviews almost daily at this point. And you guys really should be checking out Don's work over there, D-Squared stuff. He's been doing a great job. I actually just realized I accidentally, when I posted his review today, I left myself as the author. I have to fix that.
Scab taking credit.
And
nice ghostwriting, Dave.
I tag him in the tweet when I send it out for people to know it's there. And then I will also recommend that if you haven't watched it yet, watch the DC Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover.
Okay.
I was shocked how much I liked it, you know, because I've liked the crossovers, but I really like this one. Little disappointed in one thing about the show. JD will know as soon as he sees it, and we'll talk about that after he watches it.
Let's do a whole like rundown when the year starts.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, so I think that's a good place to put a pin in 2019, guys. We might be back before the new year with a full review on the movie, but we'll see, because the holidays, people don't listen to the show anyway. So we'll discuss that off air. So on that note, boys and girls, as always, thanks for listening. Hope you have a wonderful and safe holiday and a happy new year. And don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.